Hopefully everybody's having a good Sunday thus far, and want to wish all the guys that are fathers a happy Father's Day. Hopefully you're having a good day, enjoying yourself, and getting some of the benefits of being a dad, i.e. a good meal, folks leaving you alone and not bugging you throughout the day. But we want to wish you all a happy Father's Day. And get yourself a day of rest and recuperation from the daily rigors of life. All right, before we get going here, let's get a few announcements in. First announcement we always make concerning the nightly prayer line Monday through Saturday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Monday through Saturday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Don't miss out on prayer. Everything in the economy of God is powered by prayer. Without prayer, there is no power. Like a preacher said a long time ago, no prayer, no power. A little prayer, you have little power. Much prayer, much power. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together on the prayer line. It's a good place to come to get your prayer needs enhanced with other people that believe what you believe. The prayer line available to everyone. That number is 1-805-399-1000. 1-805-399-1000. The access code, once you dial that number, is 409-367. 409-367. Again, 1-805-399-1000. Access code is 409-367. Also, we always try to introduce you to a few books that may be helpful in your spiritual walk. The first book here is Exposing Demons. This is a small little pamphlet here, 20 pages, little small book, little short book, but it's got a lot of good, quick information on how to deal with the demons. Expelling Demons by Derek Prince. Get yourself a dozen of these over the internet. I know Amazon has them for $1.50 a copy. $1.50 a copy. Get a dozen of them to give to other people, because we're going into a realm now where you see demons are out here in the mainstream, and you're going to have to deal with demons. If you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to deal with demons. There's no way around them. They're here. Like the little blonde girl told you on Poltergeist, they're here. So therefore, you've got to deal with them. Don't run. Don't get shook up. Get equipped. Expelling Demons. Derek Prince also has a good book called They Shall Cast Out Demons. It's a good book. Or learning how to expel demons or whatever it is. When you go to Amazon.com, you'll see a catalog of books on dealing with demons. So go check it out. Don't walk around disempowered when the devil's powered up to try to confront you and he's seeking to destroy you. Next book. Book we wrote here, myself and along with Maisha Hunter, The Organic Gospel. The Organic Gospel is a revelation concerning the fact that the gospel is organic. It grows out of you at the expense of self. In other words, as you present your body to God sacrificially, as a result, the organic nature of the gospel takes hold on you, and God begins to displace and replace you with himself by having an organic resource, a gospel that is brought forth in you in seed form and allowed to grow and expand its borders as you abdicate and release your body to God. He needs a body. It's a field. He can't grow his crop on a field owned by you. So when you turn the field over to God, he'll grow himself out of you organically. And in the process, he'll change your nature. So that effort to try not to sin will be displaced by a nature that does not desire to sin. I will say that again. The nature that is trying not to sin will be displaced and replaced by a nature that does not desire to sin. That's real freedom. Not walking around trying to hold back desires. That's bondage. You want to walk around free from the nature that's binding you and driving you, so there's no longer a desire for dope, illicit sex, pornography, masturbation, cigarettes, and all the rest of the sins, gambling and profanity. All of that has been expunged from your soul because an organic displacement has taken place inside of you, wherein the desire has been displaced by another desire that is not desiring to sin. Man, if you get a hold of this revelation, it can change your spiritual walk. So therefore, we fight wars to publish this book, wars to get it distributed. Publishers wouldn't touch it. It's not anything that's confrontational. It's not something that's going to be causing lawsuits or anything. 129 pages of a revelation on the organic nature of the gospel. But Satan knows that if people get a hold of the fact that the gospel displaces a nature that he controls, he will lose control of everybody. So he fights it. You sitting in church listening to preaching and teaching and people spitting in microphones for the last 20 years, and you still got the same nature binding you. The organic gospel, the revelation of what the gospel is all about, delivering you from evil and setting you free through a process we call organic displacement. The book is available at www.theorganicgospel.net. www.theorganicgospel.net, or is through, you can get it through all the ebook different websites. You know, I think it's Nook, Kindle, Google Books. I mean, whatever's out there, that's an ebook location. We probably have it on that location. Hard copies are available at www.theorganicgospel.net. Get a copy. It'll change your life. All right. Last thing we'll talk about is Dunamis Tabernacle. We've been talking about Dunamis Tabernacle for 5 years, and the people sit there looking at us talking about it for 5 years. It's a strange situation. Folks want to get involved in building all kinds of idolatrous systems to flesh, but when you talk about a military affair and a base camp for soldiers, all of a sudden everybody goes brain dead. A war, a battle, sacrifice, confrontation, dealing with the devil for real. No, we came here for entertainment. I like the people singing, and I like the preaching and all the entertainment. I didn't plan on engaging in any warfare myself. I just came in here to be entertained. That's what's wrong with people. They don't want to get involved in the army of God. They're really not born again children of God. They're just religious people desiring entertainment for self. So I'm not even talking to you if you like that. I'm talking to people that have really been saved. They really are ready to engage the devil and destroy the works of darkness personally. See, everything we talk about, if it's not personal to you, I'm just talking to the wind. It's not involving you. Before you can deal with walking with God, it's got to be personal to you. It's got to be your thing. A little ginger beer. If it's not your thing, then you might as well just go back home and stop trying to play church or pretend you're saved, because it's not personal. When it becomes personal and it's your personal conflict with the devil, and you are here as a vessel to be presented to God for God to use, nobody has to cajole you or try to motivate you or try to convince you or twist your arm, because it's your thing. All we're looking for is people that want to be soldiers of light, committed to going into battle against the devil for themselves. Here's the distinction and the difference between what we propose as church as contrasted with what you see on the street corner right now. Probably upwards of 90% of what you see on the street corner calling itself the church has nothing to do with God whatsoever. No thing to do with God. It's just a brick and mortar edifice built to nothingness. It has nothing to do with God. All the trappings inside, the preachers and the deacons and the church mothers and the organ and the piano and the choirs, most of that stuff is just a waste of time and has nothing to do with God whatsoever. What's the difference between what we're saying and the thing you've been calling church all your life? One, the thing you've been calling church, if you listen to the person in the pulpit, they know absolutely nothing about spiritual war, dealing with the devil, the realness of the battle, and they don't preach messages centered around conflict with the devil, destroying the works of darkness, and setting captives free. The Bible plainly says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested in the flesh. Jesus Christ will manifest in your flesh and in my flesh for one reason only, the Bible says, and that is to destroy the works of the devil. He manifests in you and me to confront, engage, and destroy the works of the devil. That's the only purpose God wants you for on earth. You're a weapon of war on earth. Your body is for the Lord. The Lord is for your body. You are a vessel that is to be retrofitted for war. Ephesians chapter 6, you got on armor. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you got weapons of warfare that are not carnal. 1 Timothy, he's telling you you're a soldier, not involved in the affairs of this life. It's too much war talk in the Bible for you and me to believe that there's no war. So here's the contrast. You go to church today, you'll hear a message about what happened in Charleston, South Carolina, and some quips and quotes from Martin Luther King Jr. You'll sit there crying and jumping around talking about black rights and all this other junk for 2 hours and go back home mad at the white man. I care nothing about that garbage. This is a interdimensional, supernatural, extraterrestrial warfare against invisible, fallen angels, demons, and Nephilim that come across the dimensional plane to seek and destroy every human they engage. That's what it's all about. Everything else is a distraction, and it's a tactic used by the devil to get you off course and off target. You got to deny this stuff and just avoid it and totally cast it out of your mind. We're dealing with metaphysical creatures that are designed lethal attacks to get you to concentrate on anything but them. So you'll go to church and the preacher will direct you away from the enemy and focus you on the here and now, the earth, and this present evil world. And you'll get emotional, you'll cry a lot, you'll feel things in you, and you'll walk out with a clenched fist singing Kumbaya and We Shall Overcome. And you've been deceived. The devil just made a fool out of you. So we sit here in a logical format and explain to you the dictates and the warfare tactics of the devil, and you get offended. Why? Because the devil is embedded in your soul. You get offended by truth when the devil, who is anti-truth, is embedded inside of you. The truth offends the devil. The truth offends people controlled by the devil. The animosity you feel inside of you about, well, you should care about the black man and black rights and the civil rights movement, and are you a card-carrying member of the NAACP? All that stuff is the root of your deception. Can't you see that for 50 years, black folks have been in the civil rights movement and it's meant nothing? Nothing accomplished? Nothing. Look at the young black boy walking down the street with his pants pulled down to his knees, with nap knots draped down his back, 2 earrings on, covenant tattoos from head to toe, and you've been set free by civil rights. You got civil rights, man. Look at you. Look at the results of your civil rights. You know what it did? It made you a member of the Roman Empire. and now you are bathed in the dictates of Rome, a slave to Satan. You've been made 10 times the child of hell before you had the civil rights. Don't you know black folks had their own communities, their own barbershops, their own supermarkets, their own grocery stores, their own insurance companies, everything, gas stations, everything within the confines of the black community without civil rights. You wanted to be absorbed not in the white quiet arena of America. You didn't want civil rights. You wanted to be a member of the Roman Empire. The same thing in the Israelites that wanted them to return to Egypt is the same thing that was embedded in the black person's soul desiring to be free as defined by Satan. Freedom is not external. Freedom is internal, and freedom is eternal, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, yes, there is liberty. You sought to belong to Satan's empire and you got a boot in your face. Your girl's a lesbian, your boy's a homosexual, a drug addict, a pervert, a freak. Down here at Phillips Arena last night listening to Kanye West and Future curse at them like dogs, spit in your daughter's face and call her a whore and a female dog. And you're happy about it. And the trash is on the cover of Essence magazine. Orange is the new black, with the transvestite in the middle of five women as the featured woman on the cover. And the transvestite is prettier than every woman on the cover, because the rest of the women look like men, butches. The prettiest thing on the cover is the transvestite man. But you wanted civil rights. I don't like you for saying this. I don't care if you don't like it. You better wake up and understand this is a metaphysical, supernatural, extraterrestrial, interdimensional warfare with invisible entities. And if you don't get power from heaven, you will be destroyed. HBCUs everywhere. Black colleges dotting the landscape from sea to shining sea, from the Atlantic to the Pacific. And the result is this guy walking down the street looking like something that the dog just vomited out. An organ grinder's monkey is the best you could get after 40 years of freedom. Look at him. Look at the basketball player running down the court in the NBA. That's maximum potential. That's the icons of the black community. That success. You get covered in tattoos after they sodomize you in the industry. Then you bathe yourself in tattoos to show forth your allegiance to the people that sodomized you. You become a sodomized, pants sagging, empty-headed, organ grinder's monkey to show your allegiance to the devil and his empire, and you want civil rights. I don't care if you don't like me. I don't care if you turn me off. I don't care what, you can curse me all you want. I'm telling you the truth. You better seek the Lord while he may be found, and you better return back to the dictates of righteousness as revealed by the scriptures. That's a fact. Your boy sitting in the corner now, a homosexual, because you're a Sarah and you joined the frat and the Masons and the Eastern Stars, wanting to be part of the Roman Empire. You went through the indoctrinations that made your daughter a lesbian, that made your boy a homosexual. You let the porno in the house that shaped and forced them into what they are. And now you want to stand in awe about what they are. You open the door to the devil, and you better believe one thing. You open the door to the devil, buddy, he's coming in. And he's coming in heavy with reinforcements. Don't look around. You did it. You are accountable. I am accountable for allowing sin to reign over us. God told Cain, he said, listen, boy, if you do well, you'll be accepted. If you do what you're told, I'll accept you. If you don't do well, it's because sin is crouching at your door. It's because you let sin in the front door and it's cursing you. It's a curse in your home. A curse shall not cause this come. There is an avenue for all curses to come upon us. You tell your kids, leave the world alone. They open the door gaping wide to the devil in the world, and they get cursed. Their minds get cursed. Their souls get cursed. Their intellect gets cursed. Their drive to be a normal human gets cursed. Logic gets cursed. Everything gets cursed. Academic acumen gets cursed, and their grades begin to bottom out. Why? They opened their door to an empty-headed moron that came through rap and hip-hop to undermine their mental development, arresting them, making them unable to think like a normal human being, and then the arrested people come to know something about religion and try to drag that trash across the continental divide into church, telling us that this arrested filth has something to do with God. We're standing at the doorway of the church and tell you that you and the devil are a liar. That's not coming in here. You're not bringing that arrested trash in here to arrest us like you've been arrested. You better seek God to get your mind changed to be normal again. Because that hip-hop and that rap undermine the very essence of your development as a human being. And now you walk around with the mind of a third grader, 30 years old. You got 40 and 50 and 60 year old people still listening to that trash, arrested with the mind of a 10 year old standing there in a 50 year old body, i.e. Jay-Z. See, folks, it ain't pretty. What's a base camp? What is Dunamis Tabernacle all about? Taking folks out of the world and forging them into vessels that can house God. The basis of Dunamis Tabernacle is the organic gospel. The power of transformation imparted to you. So you become a vessel that carries God, and then you return back to the environment from whence you came to save others. We don't care about no theater style city. You know what's wrong with most of you folks? You listen to what I'm saying, and the paradigm of that stinking church mess you came from is still inundating your mind. You hear a building, I don't care nothing about no stinking building. I don't care nothing about no stinking church. I don't care nothing about Omega Ministries. This ain't about nothing because it's temporal and housed here. We use this stuff to get a job done. And here you are debating about a stupid building when we're trying to use a building to forge vessels to go do a job. The church is not a building. The church is in the vessels, the people. But how can you teach 10,000 people one at a time when it's easier to teach 10,000 people collectively and with one lesson in front of them? You see how silly it is to undermine corporate gatherings to teach people? Universities don't come to your house sending one professor to each house. You have to go away to the university in a collective environment to teach a classroom full of 300, 400 people in some major universities. Man, you go to Purdue or Notre Dame, they don't even know your name in the class. You got a number. All your work is assigned by a number. And you take quizzes sometimes in Texas sitting there at a computer terminal where you log in using your number and it's graded electronically. They don't even know you. The professor don't know you. You walk up talking about, good evening, Dr. Adams. Do I know you, son? Who are you? I'm in your class. I don't know anybody in my class, son. I could care less about you. You better try to pass my class, but you better do. He don't know you. But you can always project information better in a group collective setting than you can one-on-one as far as teaching is concerned. Now, discipleship and fellowship and interaction with people and relationship is different. That's where you come in when you get the goods, when you're getting empowered by the Holy Ghost. Now you can go and bring in a harvest as an individual around your dining room table teaching people. But the organized, structured gathering of the church universal, housed in a congregational setting, is for praise, prayer, worship, teaching, and instructions in righteousness so that you'll be fully equipped to do the work of the ministry yourself. You won't go out here as an empty-headed, legalistic, crazy vagabond full of false doctrine, trying to convert people into becoming a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon, a Roman Catholic, or some other false presentation of Jesus Christ. You'll win people and be able to deal with them and minister to them using what the Bible says? Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. True doctrine. You've been taught the right doctrine so that you can teach others. I'm not talking to people that's bound in the old church paradigm and the old church way of thinking. They still got a first lady and a pastor's appreciation dinner and an anniversary and a Tom Thumb wedding and a potluck dinner and all that junk that came from religion. This is a military affair. This is forging ground troops to do a job. See, people get a wrong impression about a lot of things based on their own interpretation of their own misinformation and their own brainwashing. Or you just want to, I don't want to do nothing. I could care less about this garbage down here. We're here to do a job and leave the devil and his folks with it. That's what offends people right there. Because they love the world. And any discussion of leaving the world and the world being damned, that right there, just, I can't get into that. I know, because you're not saved yet. You got to be born again. Most folks listening to me right now claiming to be Christians are not even born again. They have a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. They go to church. They know religious doctrine and data and a bunch of dogma from a pulpit and emotionalism, but they haven't been born again. I know that. That's why we project the truth into the environment. Peradventure, somebody might just be born again. Always remember this one fact about the gospel. The same gospel that saves you is the same gospel that damns you. Same gospel. We carry a neutral charge about the gospel. All we do is what? Proclaim it. I carry no charge, no energy to save or damn you. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to become a vessel, a conduit through which God can project truth. Your response to God is your business. That's why I'm not talking to everybody. I'm talking to those of you called to this that can see it. It's unbelievable that you don't have men just step up to the forefront to engage in a spiritual war against an evident invader to protect their wives, protect their homes, protect the environment from these invaders. Cowards, cowards all through the landscape, cowards with doctorates, cowards with positions in business, cowards that are playing sports all over the place. Cowards in the gyms, walking around as muscle men and bodybuilders. Cowards. Cowards. Because when a spiritual war breaks out, they're nowhere to be found. They're cowards. Cowards. Man, stop being a coward. Stop using excuses as reasons. You don't want discipline, so now heavy shepherding offends you. You're a coward. And you're a girl inside. We'll tell you to wash that gal out of you and let God use you as a man of war, fit for the master to use you. The most terrifying thing about God is this. God has the ability, according to the scriptures, to expunge his mind of any memories. That means he can take you, put you in hell, and forget you ever existed. There'll be no torment in God's mind about you. You know why? He'll have no remembrance of you. You'll be in hell, totally forgotten, as if you never existed, not having any impact on heaven whatsoever. He's going to expunge every person that goes to heaven. He'll expunge your mind of any remembrance of your earthly existence, so that there'll be no feelings or torment about anybody in hell. Behold, all things have passed away. Yes. And look and see, all things have been made new. He says, I can cast your sins into the sea of my forgetfulness. You better know this. He can cast a lot of things into that sea of forgetfulness. It'll be like you never were born, like you never existed. And in hell, well, there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth eternally. And you'll be totally forgotten, sealed up with the devil and his angels, all because you were proud and arrogant. And when God extended his hand, you refused him. You better get saved when God is searching for you, because God can stop looking for you. And when God stops looking for you, you can't be saved even if you want to be saved. See, salvation is extended on God's timetable, not ours. When he shuts the door to salvation and you're given over to reprobation, you can't be saved because he's not accepting you in his kingdom. You better come while God is searching for you and God's Holy Spirit is seeking for you. You don't find God. God goes to find you. The Bible says you can actually do despite to the Spirit of grace. You can offend the Holy Ghost. And he'll shut down on you and give you over to the devil. And you'll go reprobate. What you're looking at right now down here are a lot of people who've been turned over into reprobation. Their minds are unable to conceive or perceive of righteousness or salvation. They're damned. These are damned minds that cannot be saved. And God won't even have you talk to them when they have actually offended. And the Bible says, blaspheme the Holy Ghost. They can't be saved. There's no way to even forgive them for what they've done. Blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is an unpardonable sin. This is a dangerous place. This is a deadly place down here. People walk around talking big talk all the time. They can step past the point of no return and they'll be damned with no way out. And you'll know when you see them. Because they'll be insane. Their conversation will be insane. They have no ability to understand anything you're saying concerning Jesus Christ. They'll have bitterness and hatred in their heart against Jesus Christ. They become the enemies of all righteousness. They hate you. They hate God. They hate people. They walk into church, sit inside of a Bible study. They get up and blow the brains out of everybody within 10 feet of them. How do you walk into a church, sit for an hour in a Bible study, and get up and kill folks? The reprobate mind. And we're walking around in the midst of this. Now the people in sorrow and mourning, this morning crying in churches in Charleston, South Carolina, still with no power to stop the devil. I'm crying a river, and I still got no power. I'm still not baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. I still don't have the fruit nor the gifts of the Spirit operative in me. And I'm crying a river about how bad life is. And listening to little emotional sermons about forgiveness. This is the power of God. They forgave him. The power of God is to stop him. The power of God is to bind the devil and stop this devil. You see how the devil is? Yeah. He wants to kill everybody inside and tell you, see, the humility and the power to forgive. He wants you to be emotional. That's girly stuff, man. That's the girly gospel. Not confront this dog, not bind this dog, not cast him out, not destroy the works of the devil. Just be emotional and sit there and fold your hands as your 5-year-old boy's brains have been blown out on the floor and forgive the killer. That's the power of God. Not me, man. Not me. It's time to stop this devil. It's time to confront this devil. He says you'll confront his enemies in the gate. He says he makes us into his battle axe to wage war. Why you got all this armor? Why you got weaponry according to 2 Corinthians chapter 10? Weapons of warfare that are not carnal. Because you're not fighting physical entities. You can't fight spirit with carnality and flesh. You got to have spirit to fight spirit. That's why the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. This is the biggest mess ever in the history of the world. passing for church life. It's garbage. And until you wake up out of this coma, everything I'm saying will offend you. And you know what you need? You need to be born again. To see and enter into the kingdom of heaven, ye must be born again. Dunamis Tabernacle, that's what it's all about. What I just described is the environment. Warfare. Disciplined folks. We don't have time to talk that small talk gibberish you're interested in. We're through with all that garbage. Church gibberish. Debate. Strife. Stupidity. This is my seat. Well, I tell you where your seat going to be. It's going to be out there on the street. Go sit in it. We're going to move this seat on the street. Since it's your seat, we're going to put this seat on the street for you to sit in it. So you won't be around here contaminating us with your stupidity. It's time out for all that, man. Yes. Not time for that anymore. The fool is out here stealing, killing, and destroying. And we got folks small talking around, crazy, limited, and arrested in their minds, debating tripe that does not even matter. You better get a strong constitution. You better get some guts and intestinal fortitude. You better power up and get on with the battle in front of you, because this is not going to be pretty. It's not. Anybody promising you some kind of a primrose, beautiful future with lilies and roses everywhere and the air just bathed in lilacs and lavender, they're lying to you. Warfare is not pretty, whether it be natural or spiritual. Study Acts. Study the apostles' lives. It was what it was, and it is what it is. It's a warfare, and it's not pretty. You've got to be prepared for what's about to come, because these interdimensional creatures are coming across, and you got to stand here equipped to deal. That's the bottom line. Dunamis Tabernacle, contribute right now, today, www.omegaministries.org. Click on support, followed by donate. We're talking about a Mickey Mouse $800,000 building that will seat about 500 people. 500 people on about 10 acres of land, giving us the ability to expand as the numbers grow. Not about hanging around church. It's about equipping an army to go out and fight a war. The devil is terrified of that. That joker, man, he wants you to sit in church today, sing a bunch of silly songs, and go eat lunch or dinner somewhere, go back home and watch sports and go to sleep and go to work tomorrow, business as usual, until Wednesday night when you go to Bible study again to talk about stuff you don't understand anyway, and take a surface circular look at Bible stories. Now, what did you get out of the book of Joshua and Caleb? And what did you get out of that story? Mrs. Johnson, what did you get out of it? Well, it seems like Joshua was a committed man, and it seems like Caleb was determined to obey the Lord. And it was a beautiful depiction of a determined people wanting to serve the Lord, is what I got from it. That's an excellent point. All right, Ben, what did you get out of it? Well, I got out of it the fact that, you know, they saw giants in the land. And if they had just focused on God and faith, there would have been no fear. So I see that the story is about us not being afraid. Don't be afraid. That's the very essence of the story to me. Oh, good, great point, Ben. Mary, what? Well, I think we covered some good information here tonight. Charles, you want to pray to wrap it up? Next week, we'll be talking about the book of Esther. Come on, lead us in prayer, Charles. I don't know what I'd do in there. I'd probably throw something out of a window. I'd probably start breaking out windows or something. This is what we've got. In the front row of the Bible study, you know who you'll find? The devil. Devil, what is your take on the story? Well, the way I see it is, I'm winning. and you all don't know what's going on. And I'm about to destroy all of you as I take out this Glock and I'm going to kill 9 of you. The devil's right there in the front row with a gun. What do you think, devil? I think I'm killing all of you blacks for raping our women and for taking over our country. The devil in Bible study. Because the church has no power. And God is not going to pretend we got power and give us power that hasn't been sought out. You got to seek out power. You got to seek out. You got to die to self, die to the world, die to everything around you. You got to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to count the cost and see if you have sufficient enough to finish this battle and this building process. You got to examine yourself on a daily basis to see if you be in the faith. Every man must bear his own burden. You must work out your salvation for yourself with fear and trembling. It's a cost. It's a price to pay for power. So instead of praying that price, what do we get? Entertainment centers. Brick and mortar buildings built to entertain people. And now the devil's really come. And nobody has any power. Dunamis Tabernacle, www.omegaministries.org. Support, then donate, or go to the Omega Ministries website, www.omegaministries.org. The first page there, you'll see an address, care of Timothy Simmons. You can send support there, or to Post Office Box 960146, Riverdale, Georgia 30296. Stop sitting up here on Sunday listening to messages. To be honest with you, if you want to just sit and listen to messages, you need to find somewhere else to go. We're here for military people. We're here for people that want to fight. I'm not talking to you people who don't have and can't support. I'm talking to you folks just sit around and just want to get fat on the word of God without any commitment, any discipline, any kind of a authority in you to go out and do something. You just want to sit around and know stuff. I'm not here to feed folk that just want to know stuff. I'm here for the sheep of God that want to get fed the food of God to get up and be participators in God's war. I'm not trying to offend you. This is just not for you. So you need to go on somewhere else and find something that really is compatible with you. That's the way it is. It's not pretty. We're not here to get numbers. We don't care about 15,000, 20,000 folks. We need a lean, mean fighting machine. We need Marines, folk that mean business, who stand in the disciplines of military array to confront a devil that is standing there in military array. That joker is a well-formatted and formed up army. And buddy, he don't take no excuses for when he gives a command. He has a fighting force. And we're going to go out here like Tiny Tim with tulips, singing tiptoe through the tulips against this fool? Not me, man. We don't need excess weight. You don't believe it? You don't believe what I'm saying is true? Read the story of Gideon's army. God didn't go with all those folk. Man, he cut that thing down. 30,000 to 300. Because everything else was excess fat, excess weight. You got to cut this thing back, man, to folks that only mean business. That's what we're looking for. Dunamis Tabernacle. Base camp for an army, a fighting force. That's what it's all about. You start talking about a silly building, you're 10,000 miles away from what we're talking about. Don't even bring it up. This ain't Creflo with no $65 million jet. This is a military affair. All right. That's going to do it for announcements and the books for this week. Let's get into the message for today. Today we're talking about, I didn't even think about this when I made up this lesson this week, but it's good for Father's Day, as we talk about the Man Up Manifesto. The Man Up Manifesto. If you read our website at all, you know there's a manifesto on there that's called the Man Up Manifesto, with about 8 tenets for the manifesto, calling men up to accountability, men called up to responsibility, men called up to leadership, men finally taking off all those little graveyard girly clothes and stepping into the battle as leaders in order to be responsible before God and committed before God to do the work of God. It's a Man Up Manifesto. That's what we're talking about today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God. God, take these words and anchor them to our hearts. Bind the devil, cast them out from our presence and out of our hearts and souls, that our minds can be clear to receive your word, walk therein, be changed thereby into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might have fellowship with you via the Holy Spirit. These are the times that try men's souls, and God, we're counting on you to remove all barriers and blockages, that we can have a free flow of the Holy Ghost flowing through us out to the world to save those that you have already ordained for eternal life. God, give us the faith, give us the discipline, give us the determination to carry out your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Man Up Manifesto. The Man Up Manifesto. Open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 19. A manifesto is really a written statement that brings clarity to purpose. In other words, you have dictates and tenets that clarify exactly what your purpose is. Tenets are the enumerated goals of the manifesto. So the manifesto is basically an overview, and the tenets of the manifesto give you focused, logical tenets to follow in order to achieve the manifesto. So you see, that's what we need in church. We can't fight as one that beats against the wind. The devil is an ordered army. Ephesians chapter 6 outlines his army: principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Ordered, structured, regimented, disciplined. They might look crazy and helter-skelter when they do things. There's methodology behind all of their madness. Everything you see that looks like it's crazy and out of order is very orchestrated and controlled. And he even controls your descent into madness. You don't believe it? You watched a girl 13 years old on Disney, Miley Cyrus. By the time she's now, 19 or 20, you saw 5-6 years of her descent into madness in real time. Now she comes out and tells and says she told her mom at 14, you know, I love women. Your mom said, you should love everybody. No, I love women like a man loves a woman. Now she's sitting right there on Disney, a victim of monarch mind control. See, all these women that come through Disney and get the beta program. See, the beta program is the sex kidding program that makes you a sexual being without gender. Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Justin Timberlake, Miley Cyrus, Raven Simone. Look at Raven Simone. Look at Miley Cyrus. Lindsay Lohan. Same programming, same results. The end game, madness. Madness. Driven into madness. So why they make movies like The Bourne Legacy. They're showing you how you can take a mind and control that mind. Manipulate that mind through monarch mind control. They take you through traumatic programming. See, like on The Bourne Legacy, they get Jason Bourne to take a gun and blow a man's brains out point blank range. That's to do what? Desensitize him. Dehumanize him. See, before you can go and do all these sexually depraved acts, you've got to be desensitized and dehumanized. So you'll be able to engage in and cooperate in the programming. That's why Robin Thicke stood there in a black and white striped suit with Miley Cyrus bent over in front of him twerking, because that was the ritual. You see a lot of movies, you'll always find a black and white checkerboard floor in the movies. You walk in Masonic lodges, you know what you'll find? The black and white checkerboard floor. This is the Aleister Crowley satanic mind control of duality. Good and evil, that's what the black and white floor represents. You are a God in and of yourself. To do what you will to do is the whole of the law. Jay-Z believes this with everything in him. That's why he and Rick Ross made a song with Jay-Z rapping about the dark side. The dark side. This is the damage done to our kids' minds. They don't have any gender identity. The rap and hip hop bathe their minds in non-gender specific lies that the devil infiltrated their minds with, and he's turned them into androgens. What's an androgen? An androgen is an individual that has no genetic identity. An androgen is neither male nor female. It's an androgen. Baphomet is an androgen. You see, Baphomet has breasts. Then it has the physician's staff with the snakes wrapped around it as his penis, has one hand pointed up and one hand down. That's duality. As it is above, so it is beneath. There is no right or wrong. Only situational ethics rule the world. This is what a man must stand up against. But guess what? You disempower the man by making him a girl inside and making him non-gender specific. How can you call up a man when the guy standing in front of you does not have the genetic makeup of a man? He can't step into the battle when he's been castrated himself. He's a eunuch. I'm preaching a gospel that a million guys should be standing out in front of this place when I get through, saying, hey, I'm armed and extremely dangerous. I'm ready for war. Where's the devil? Let's seek him out and destroy him. But when you got guys that have their testicles cut off, they've been made into geldings. You know, that's what they do to a racehorse, to make a racehorse calm. They cut off his testicles to make him a gelding. So he's docile. He doesn't have any more kick in him. He came in as a Mustang and you castrate him. A docile man. A man with no fight in him, no kick in him. He accepts what the devil doles out with no resistance. You call him up to war, he becomes passive, complaining. He turns on leadership and accuses them of being too heavy-handed on me. And it's just so mean-spirited. And you talk so rough, and it just hurts me to my little old heart how you talk to me. Standing there in a football uniform, a linebacker, and that's how these guys really are inside. They can go out there and play football and physically conduct a football game, but you can't step out into a metaphysical war. You can't confront the devil who's stealing and killing and destroying everything in sight, because you really got no guts. The sports escape is your way of avoiding conflict, not engaging in it. You lifting weights in the gym and building muscle and getting bigger because you're a girl inside, and that's your compensation for not having any guts. You think physical evidences give some credence to your manhood, when the Bible plainly says that body exercise profiteth little. That's not where the emphasis is. You got to build up your most holy faith in prayer and fasting, conditioning the inner man while you're standing there before God and kneeling there before God and laying prostrate before God, praying in the Holy Ghost, building up your most holy faith. Bodybuilding is an escape 99% of the time. Trying to walk around with a six pack at the beach looking crazy, and the devil comes over the hill and you're running with your little thong swimming trunks on tucked between your butt cheeks. You can't deal with the devil because you got muscles, man. The devil's a cherub angel. He'll crush your skull and not even use a weapon to do it. Just words. God is not the only one that uses words. The devil can pronounce your death out of his mouth. And it'll happen through an incantation, a curse, a spell cast. That's the powers we're dealing with. Can't you see from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible doesn't talk about weapons that are carnal. He's talking about witchcraft and sorcery and divination and necromancy. All the spell casting abilities of the devil. His esoteric powers. His supernatural powers. Think about this. When Jesus was confronted by the devil, the Bible says the devil took him away to a high place and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment in time. How could he do that? How could the devil breach the time and space continuum and show Jesus parts of time right before him and says, look at all this. I'll give it to you if you bow down and worship me. That's a lot of power. Never think this dude doesn't have power. The devil has power. Our only hope is the fact that God has more power. You walk up to the devil playing him cheap, he's going to crush your skull. All the folks running around talking about the devil's under their feet, ignore them like the plague. Because 99.99% of the time, the devil is not under their feet. Pride is a big deception. Big deception. So you got to understand now, we're dealing with an entity that most men are just plain afraid of. The cowards. I get tired of you calling me a coward. Well, stop being a coward. If you're tired of me calling you a coward, stop being a coward then and step up to the plate. This is an all-volunteer army. Look at Proverbs 19. This is where it begins, right here. Right here is where it begins. Proverbs 19, verse 18. What does he say? Let's read that together. Go. My son, there is hope. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. Chasten the boy while there's still hope. And don't stop chastening him because he's crying. Because there'll come a point where there is no hope. The old people used to say it like this. You better bend that tree while it's a sapling. Because when it's an oak tree, it can't be bent. You better get that thing disciplined while that thing is able to be bent and broken. Because when it gets to be a stoic, proud, boneheaded, full-grown person, it's too late. That's why the Bible says to discipline and chasten your son while there is still hope for him. And don't spare him because he's crying. We're not talking about child abuse. We're not talking about beating somebody unconscious and bloodying them up and throwing them down elevator shafts. We're talking about a good old-fashioned spanking that your mom and your grandmama gave you. To let you know one thing, do as you are told. That's what it's all about. To train you that when you get older, you must do as God tells you to do. Because if you don't, outside of the confines of God's word, you are cursed and damned. You have to teach a child. You don't know anything. Do as you are told. You come into the world ignorant of the world. You've never been here before. How are you going to come into the world at 5 years old talking to somebody been here 45, 50 years, giving your input to them? I'm going to show you why the Bible calls that a curse in just a minute. So now you got a fifth grader telling the teacher, you better not put your hands on me. I'll call defect. I'll call 911. The kids rule the asylum called the school system. I talked to the maintenance personnel walking into the middle school classrooms and finding 7-year-old guys having little girls bent over the toilets, having sex like mad dogs in middle school. I talked to the 3 maintenance guys who walked into the boys' gym bathroom with a little girl laying on a bench with 7 guys switching off on her, running a train on her, and then nobody stopped when they walked in. They ignored them and kept right on going, and the little girl just laying there like nothing going on. This is insanity coming to the schoolyard. Your kid will sit next to people in school that is more animal than child because they were raised like that. Chasing your son while there is hope, man, woman. Don't abuse them. See, people will hear this and child abuse, beating. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the chastening and discipline of obedience. They must be taught to obey and do as they are told, because if they don't, one day it's going to cost them their lives. When that gavel goes down with a 30 to 40 year prison sentence, you'll look back and say, man, why didn't I listen? When your daughter's laying in the bed, 60 pounds, dying of AIDS, it's going to be a sad day, but it can't be recovered. You can't recover it. I told you not to go out there with these nasty dudes laying around. I told you to stop this perversion. Now you're dying and there's no reprieve. You can pray a river, cry a river. Your only hope now is to die saved. Confess Christ in that deathbed and die saved. You'll be amazed how much sadness is on people right now that's got AIDS. You see a woman walking around depressed and always melancholy and can't really look in your eyes and always lowly and won't ever laugh or anything. You don't understand the HIV positive, full-blown AIDS, be dead in 6 months. How many stars have you seen die in Hollywood and they never tell you what they died of? But you watch them dry up and emaciate right before your very eyes. Big old healthy guys walking around robust. And you watch them dry up right before your very eyes and die. Like Luther Vandross did. And everybody just blows it off. Well, you know, he was a great singer. No, man. Whitney Houston died before her time. Michael Jackson. Elvis Presley. Marilyn Monroe didn't make it to 40 years old. Marilyn Monroe was beautiful. She didn't make it to 40 years old. You got to chasten a child while there's still hope. Because the day will come when judgment will visit them and they will die. A lot of folks still stood over caskets looking into the face of a young person, crying their eyes out. But the saint of God that warned that person, you are not accountable because I told you. I told you. That's why I preach what I preach like I preach it. You got to be chasing while there's still hope for you. And I don't care how much you whine away and call me a heavy shepherd with a heavy hand. You better obey God, or you'll find yourself in a place, a narrow place, that's going to destroy you because you would not listen. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. This is what's wrong with men. They've never been disciplined and chastened. That's why they can't be a man. It's pitiful to watch it, but I know it's cause and effect. The reason why they can't be a man today is because no patriarch chastened them as a boy. Now they got no guts. And any guy that had the chastening that went to the world and hip-hop and rap and Lil Wayne and Jay-Z and Kanye West, you saw them metamorphosize into a girl right before your very eyes and become a lust-filled bum because he fed from another father and his daddy became Jay-Z. And he became what Jay-Z is. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You can't listen to a sissy all day and not become one yourself. Even when you're brought up under the fear and admonition of the Lord, you go to the weak and beggarly elements of this stinking world, that world will contaminate you and they'll make you into what they are. You sell your birthright for a bowl of pottage couched in entertainment. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Don't look around down here. You better look up to Jesus. Keep your eyes fixated on Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He tolerated the cross. He put up with the cross, looking past the cross at the joy that would come after he was resurrected. Remember, the same Jesus that died here got up here. Have you ever processed that? That the same Jesus that died on earth got up on earth and walked around on the earth? He's a resurrected Savior. He's not dead. Despising the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oneness Pentecostal. How is he sitting down next to the throne of God? And he's the same as the Father. Wake up. Look, I'm so sick of that Oneness Pentecostal stupidity. Wake up out of that stupid tripe you're trying to promote as doctrine. That stuff is making you into an idiot. Walking around talking about God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost are the same person. The Bible is replete trying to show you these are these three distinct persons and they operate in unity as one. 1 John chapter 5, there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, united. They operate together in unison. Stop preaching that stupid filth and wake up.